WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. 26-year-old Luigi Mangione is awaiting transfer after he was taken into custody at a McDonald's in Pennsylvania in the murder of United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson. CBS's Lily Luciano in Altoona.
He's now in a state prison. He's facing forgery and firearms charges. And of course, that is on top of the murder charges that came in last night from New York, where he will have to be extradited.
Wind-driven wildfires burned more than 1,800 acres in Malibu, California. There's a shelter-in-place order at Pepperdine University.
We're supposed to go to like the cafeteria, but we just decided to get like off campus because we didn't want to like risk anything.
2 days after the fall of Bashar al-Assad, thousands of Syrians are hoping to find disappeared loved ones at a prison nicknamed the Slaughterhouse. The Syrian Community Network's Maya Atassi.
I know the white helmets have come in and they're trying to dig through the walls and literally see if they can find individuals sort of hidden within the walls and under the floors of the prison.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers has announced the state's outdoor recreation industry had another record-setting year. According to a press release, outdoor recreation in Wisconsin contributed over $11 billion to the state economy, a nearly 10% jump from its contribution in 2023. Multi-use apparel and accessories and motorcycling and ATVing led the growth, with each category generating over $1 billion of economic impact. Boating and fishing generated the third most impact at $928 million. The Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction has received $10 million in grant funding to support mental health services for students. According to a press release, the funding will be spread out over a five-year period and will be used to increase the recruitment, retention, and diversification of mental health professionals in schools. The funding can also be used for programs like teleservice for mental health and for school districts to develop their own unique initiatives. Wisconsin was one of 22 states to receive the grant funding. The Shell Lake Police Department has released an update on a bomb threat received by the school district on Monday. According to law enforcement officials, the district received a recorded phone call from an anonymous caller claiming there was a bomb in the school and armed individuals would be arriving in minutes. The district was placed into its lockdown protocols and authorities conducted a thorough search, finding no evidence of any threats. A number of other districts across the state also received similar hoax threats on Monday. The United States Supreme Court has declined to hear an appeal accusing the Eau Claire Area School District of hiding transgender support plans involving students on Monday. A lower court had ruled against Parents Protecting Our Children, deciding they lacked standing as they could not prove how the school policy affected their own children. District officials argued that the support plans are included in their student records and are available for parents to see. Justices Thomas, Alito, and Kavanaugh said they would have heard the case. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
It's the Bucks and the Magic tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks host the Orlando Magic tonight at Fiserv Forum. Doc Rivers says with Chris Middleton back, the Bucks finally have some depth.
You know, with Chris eventually starting at some point, you know, you all have Gary and TP and AJ Green, and boy, we're finally going to say we have a bench.
College basketball. The Badgers in Champaign tonight to take on Illinois. The Badgers dropping from 11th to 20th in the AP Top 25 poll yesterday after losing last week to Michigan and Marquette. College football. Quarterback Tyler Van Dyke announcing he's leaving Wisconsin and entering the transfer portal. Baseball meetings continue in Dallas. Brewers general manager Matt Arnold asked if they'll move Bryce Terang or Joey Ortiz to play shortstop now that Willy Adames is signed with the Giants.
We have several alternatives there, like Terang, Ortiz, et cetera, up the middle if needed, but Willie was, you know, among the best shortstops in the history of our franchise.
That's Brewers GM Matt Arnold. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
We'll see a little sunshine at times today, but overall mostly cloudy with a high in the mid to upper 20s this afternoon. Tonight, mostly cloudy with some light snow after midnight. We'll drop into the mid-teens. Tomorrow, windy with light snow. Falling temperatures will be in the single digits by late afternoon. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 24.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Jeffrey from Madison.
I worked for the city of Madison for 34 years. Act 10 cost me $42,000.
Yep.
In 1977, the state of Wisconsin passed a law that says public employees cannot strike. With Act 10, now we can't bargain for working conditions and benefits, so they basically turned public employees into second-class citizens.
Yes.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
Wednesday on Up North News Radio, it's not too late to decide to run for a seat on your local school board. Here's what you'll need to do if you're interested in serving.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Buck, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. All kinds of things coming up for you on the show today. Pat Kreitlow from Up North News Radio. We'll be here at 10:33, going to talk about a UW professor who is causing some controversy with some comments that he made about the incoming administration. Next hour, right after the 11 o'clock news, have you ever lost anything of value?
Honestly, I was trying to think about that because you asked me this question, not of great value, but oh boy.
We have a good, I shouldn't have lost that. Coming up at 11:33, we're going to talk about the Jazz Gallery, which is located in River West in Milwaukee, and they are holding a fundraiser.
Nice.
And you can buy some art.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk to Beth Lemerend from the Jazz Gallery. She's the Programs and Operations Administrator. She will join us at 11:33. Of course, we'll wrap up the show at 11:51 with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Sleep Tight edition.
Sleep tight.
Stay tuned for that. And just a reminder as well that our grown-up gift list statewide text to win contest is underway in the 7, 11, 1, and 4 o'clock hours. You will hear a word that you need to text in using the Civic Media app, and there will be one winner every hour of either $100 in cash or an overnight getaway to Chula Vista Resort in the Wisconsin Dells. There will be 8 grand prize winners chosen randomly at the end of the contest, to pick out a gift from the grown-up gift list, which includes, we have 2 robot vacuums, we have a humidifier, 2 espresso machines, a snowblower.
Okay.
You can't win this.
I know.
And 2 sets of luggage. So Pat Kreitlow had the first word at 7 o'clock this morning. We will have the next one at 11 a.m., then Todd Alba in the 1 o'clock hour, and Dom Salvia in the 4 o'clock hour, and we're only one day in, Greg Bach, and Todd is way ahead already.
You know my opinions on this right now, Jane, don't you?
I do.
Yeah, so either buck up and get in the race, or choose don't.
We're in not the to, race.
But choose or choose not to care, one of the two. You don't get to be both. So either ground Todd Alba into the ground.
Jeez. Which is so like me.
It's like me.
Yeah.
Or we at least go for Dom.
Yeah, because Dom's leading us too, just by a couple. But if you haven't downloaded the Civic Media app yet.
Do it.
Do it. It's super easy. It's completely free. Go to wherever you get your apps and download the Civic Media app, because that is the thing you need to use. Mm-hmm. When you download the app, there's either a call or a text button.
Yes, there's both.
There's both to any station all across the state, whichever is closest to where you are listening. And you text in the word using the Civic Media app. That's the only valid way to make an entry.
Mm-hmm.
So just make sure you are ready for right after the 11 o'clock news.
That's right.
For the statewide grown-up gift list text to win contest.
I can't wait to not text because I can't win.
You cannot win. We wanted to talk a little bit about Speaker of the Assembly, Robin Voss.
Popcorn game. Pop, 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 pop.
I saw this interesting exchange on Twitter over the last couple of days. And someone had commented on Robin Voss's Twitter feed, hey, we'd like that $3 billion back that Walker spent on the Foxconn job.
Yeah.
If we all remember back to what was going to be the eighth wonder of the world, right? When they were all there breaking ground, Scott Walker and Donald Trump, and wasn't Paul Ryan there?
Ron Johnson was there.
Ron Johnson. I'm sure Robin Voss was with their golden shovels.
Sure, Ryan Priebus was in the back going,
breaking ground on what was going to be the eighth wonder of the world and bring thousands of great paying jobs. And yeah, that didn't happen.
Nope. Did not happen. Hey, though. We got a really cool orb in the middle of a field.
We do have an orb. And that was not there before.
And nobody knows what happens, what's happening in there.
In the orb?
Yeah.
Well, this was Robin Voss's response to this person who posted on his Twitter feed, hey, we'd like that $3 billion back that Walker spent on the Foxconn job. Here's Popcorn King's response.
Yeah.
This misleading talking point is repeated often by the unhinged left. If they had gotten their wish, now try and follow this logic. If they had gotten their wish, we wouldn't have Microsoft or the billions in development. It was the plan that we put in motion with Foxconn that allowed all of the rest to happen on this site. By the way, Foxconn is still there employing almost 1,000 people.
Ooh.
And remains the largest property taxpayer in Racine County. So if I am following this correctly, our failure in this deal with Foxconn, where we gave them billions of dollars in state money to provide all these great paying jobs, and when that collapsed, thank goodness we did this, because then Microsoft at least came in and rescued part of it. Is that correct?
That sounds like the mental gymnastics and mathematics he is pulling to basically say, we didn't screw up. Now,
well, it's almost like he's trying to say we were prescient about this.
Well, yeah, like we saw in the future that this was going to happen.
Exactly.
Just as a reminder, as a refresher, Foxconn was saying they were going to bring some 13,000 jobs to Racine County, with a medium income of those jobs being around $73,000 a year.
Good jobs.
Great jobs. Mm-hmm. Wonderful jobs. Jobs that anyone who voted for, like I voted for Joe Biden. I wanted those jobs to happen. I want those things to succeed. When they succeed, we succeed. But that's not what happened. If that would have been Joe Biden dumping a shovel in the ground and they would have created 12,999 jobs, you bet your sweet bippy that Robin Voss would be on social media going, well, they failed to create the jobs they said. But, you know, 1,000 out of 13,000 ain't bad, is it? And he's also clairvoyant.
Yes. I did not know he was clairvoyant. That's an excellent point, Greg.
Apparently when you become a royalty, as he is, you get certain powers. Maybe that's what happens in the orb.
I'd like to get in that orb.
855-752-4842.
I would love to know if you live in that area, if you know anyone who is working at Foxconn. Mm-hmm. I'm genuinely curious. Some of the other comments that I saw on this Twitter feed were that everybody who's employed at Foxconn is from Illinois. That can't possibly be accurate.
Well, I wouldn't say everybody, but I wouldn't doubt because a lot of those jobs are high skill jobs. You're going to be combing from all over the place, and you might have more skilled people in Illinois. You might have more skilled people from the Milwaukee area. I don't know how many are from Illinois specifically, but I wouldn't doubt if a fair amount are from that state. That was one of the reasons why they wanted to build. That's one of the reasons why Microsoft is probably down there too. You can cast a wider net. You can get all the way to Michigan if some people are willing to drive, or Indiana. But 1,000 out of 13,000, I would say that's a failing grade.
Isn't it a good thing we failed, Greg Box, so another company could come in and rescue us from our bad decision-making?
Yeah, and then Robin Voss can feel good about himself, you know?
Yes,
and
he does.
Microsoft can go on to probably become the biggest probably taxpayer in Racine County when they're up and running. But if it wasn't for the foresight and absolute abject failure of the Popcorn King, we wouldn't be where we are today. Calvin, can you play his theme for me? All hail!
We haven't heard that in a while.
The Popcorn King.
It's nice to hear that again. And I also recall, I mean, they had little satellite offices all over the place.
They have an office in downtown Milwaukee.
Is it still there?
As far as I know.
On Wisconsin Avenue?
Mm-hmm. I believe so, yes.
When I was working for a different employer,
mm-hmm.
we would take little field trips there, and they were empty.
That doesn't surprise
me. It's like, come see our satellite offices. It's like, okay, let's go look. And there's nothing. There's no people here.
Yep. It's still located on Wisconsin Avenue in Milwaukee. Kind of like Scientology. Like, they build a big old building for tax reasons, and they're like, we don't need to be here, right?
Never use it.
Yeah, never use it. So, I mean, we knew from the start.
I think there are certainly some who knew from the start. I remember asking, isn't this the company who had to put nets on the top of their buildings overseas?
Yeah.
Because employees were jumping off the buildings.
Yeah. Yes.
This is also the same company that kind of did this in a whole bunch of other cities around the U.S.
Yeah.
Where they got municipalities to kick in billions of taxpayer dollars.
Yeah.
And then they never built anything.
Nope. They were never held. Where's that word again? Accountability. Accountability.
No accountability.
But don't worry. Robin's found his workaround on this one, and it's because of the hard work and failure that we now have Microsoft. And
it was their foresight.
Exactly. And a big mirrory ball.
Well, and I'm glad, and it's not like I think the Microsoft thing is a bad thing. No, that's a great thing. And if Foxconn had actually turned into what it was promised to be, that also would have been a very good thing.
It probably would have attracted more people, more companies, because if you drive down the I right now, mm-hmm. heading towards Illinois, there is so much area being developed into massive million-square-foot warehouses. They are trying to develop those at a crazy amount because they want these companies to move in there because there's just so much land and the state wants to do business with you.
Well, Eli Lilly.
I'm hoping that Microsoft spurns Eli Lilly, which spurns another, which spurns another, which spurns another. I mean, it can't all just be Amazon and Uline.
Let's hope not.
Please.
If you'd like to join us, you can always call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Pat Kreitlow joining us after 10:33 from Up North News Radio. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
She gets mad and she starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't hurt. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
After raising the kids, having weddings, and getting them settled, my wife and I prepared to spend our very first Christmas alone. They were all at the in-laws this year, so we watched old videos of them growing up. Went to bed early, and Christmas morning, my wife said, "Let's never do that again."
We're on our own again this year, but we're actually looking forward to it because we rented a private vacation home in Alexandria, Minnesota. Lakes, shopping, restaurants, and new memories.
Explore your holiday getaway options at explorealex.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Big news in Wisconsin this month, as much of the controversial anti-union Act 10 law was struck down in a ruling by Dane County Circuit Court Judge Jacob Frost. Two takeaways on this. One, the ruling gets at the heart of what has always made this law so brazenly political, by defining public safety employees differently from general public employees. That decision was pretty clearly made not based on across-the-board policy, but on which unions backed Scott Walker for governor in 2010. It would be fitting if that is what ultimately spells the end for this controversial law. Secondly, this case is headed to an appeal, which almost certainly will end up at the Wisconsin Supreme Court. While this case still might be decided by the court's current 4-3 liberal majority, it's a good reminder of just how important the upcoming race for state Supreme Court will be.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kaylin Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's talking on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
93.5 The Tap.
Good morning. Welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Cal B on the board. Coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same. 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up right after the 11 o'clock news. Don't forget, it's underway. Our grown-up gift list statewide text to win contest. Your chance to win a great prize in the 7, 11, 1, and 4 o'clock hour. You can win either $100 in cash or an overnight stay at Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. And then everyone is going to be in the running for the grand prizes, which include a robot vacuum, humidifier, espresso machine, luggage set, snowblower. 8 great grand prize winners when this wraps up a week from Friday. So make sure you have the Civic Media app downloaded. Go to wherever you download your apps, your app store. Look for Civic Media, C-I-V-I-C, civicmedia.us. Download that. And then when we give you the word, we're going to give you the word of the hour, again, right after the 11 o'clock news, that you want to text in using the Civic Media app, and you will be in the running. I believe next hour we are playing for $100 cash. Ooh. Cash money, baby.
See, I'll take cash money.
Cash money.
I'll take cash
right
money.
Before Christmas. That'd be kind of nice.
Yeah, it's nice.
We were talking before we went to the break about a comment that was left on Robin Voss's Twitter feed. Hey, we'd like that $3 billion back that Walker spent on the Foxconn job. Mr. Voss replied, this misleading talking point repeated often by the unhinged left. If they had gotten their wish, then we wouldn't have Microsoft or the billions in development. It was the plan we put into motion that failed with Foxconn that allowed all the rest of this to happen on the site.
You see this turd? Without this turd, we wouldn't have made gold.
We wouldn't have this turd.
Carl
from Eau Claire texting in, Eau Claire satellite Foxconn office never had any people either. Yeah. I mean, and they had them all over the state. The one, there's still the empty one downtown Milwaukee.
Yep.
Susan in Kenosha, I think you should also ask Voss when he and Michael Gableman are going to give back the 1.5, and I think it was actually more like 2.1 when it all got done, 2.1 million in taxpayer dollars. They spent finding out that there was no fraud going on in the voting when Trump lost the first time. Also from Susan in Kenosha, how much was spent on the fake electors fraud to Washington, D.C. by private plane? Trying to hook up with Ron Johnson's office. I'm pretty sure that was taxpayers' money as well. Yeah, it's amazing, Susan. That doesn't seem to be a concern.
Well, taxpayer money also sent him to South America for a conference. I mean, we could keep going and going with what taxpayers' money. I mean, taxpayers' money pays him. And he gives himself good deals for business because he's a business owner, a landowner. He's an elected official.
He's a landlord.
He gets to work 10 months. He gets to work 2 months out of the year. His life is charmed. Maybe that's why he can look at a complete and total failure of a business and say, I did that.
We helped do that. We helped this happen because of our failure.
Guys, lunch is on. Well, apps are on me.
No, well, they can use their per diem for that.
Exactly.
Right.
And that per diem,
which we also pay for.
Taxpayer money.
Taxpayer money. Yep. It just kind of reminds me, James Comer, of course, who is the one holding the Hunter Biden hearings.
Yeah.
He just said yesterday, "Oh, we're not done with Hunter Biden yet."
You're not? What?
How many millions did we spend on that sham of an investigation so Marjorie Taylor Greene could show off pictures of Hunter Biden's privates?
What's left?
He just got a pardon.
Yeah.
Doesn't that kind of wrap it up?
Let it go. He's just not that into you, man. Seriously, let it go. You just sound creepy and needy and thirsty at this point.
But that kind of is an indication of just how much more productive this next house is going to be, coming off being already the least productive house, I think, in history.
I mean, let's not forget also that Hunter Biden agreed to testify in public, and they said, no, we don't want to do that.
Not in public. Why? No, why? No.
No. So
then the public could see what you're saying, and we couldn't spin it.
I just think that this is ridiculous. So, but hey, you know what? It's what some of you voted for. So, yeah, I think it's funny what Robin Voss chooses to spend his time responding to, and I read that response a couple times, or I read that original tweet a couple times. Doesn't sound unhinged. It's a valuable question. It's a valuable question.
So is Susan's question about the over $2 million they shelled out for that Gableman investigation so he could go attend symposiums with the pillow guy. Who, shockingly, has he been mentioned for a cabinet spot yet?
Pillow guy?
Yeah.
They're going to create their own thing called Sleep Institute, the United States Sleep Institute.
I mean, he essentially bankrupted himself.
He did.
On behalf of this campaign.
All
you'd,
that
you'd
man,
think they'd throw him a crumb.
All that man needed to do was shut his mouth for the rest of his life, and he would have made millions on pillows. And he spent it all on this quixotic. I mean, even Don Quixote is like, dude, back up. This is nuts. That was a literature reference.
Calvin, mark that down. We've never used the word quixotic, I don't think, on our show before. I feel like we've achieved a new level of something.
I bet you Todd Alba doesn't use the word quixotic on his show.
That's his word today. No, it's not his word. He'll have a different word. We'll have a word for you, too, after the 11 o'clock news. Stick around for that. Make sure you download the Civic Media app. We do have news coming up next. And then when we return, he is the host of Up North News Radio here on Civic Media from 6 to 8 a.m. Pat Kreitlow will be joining us. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Baby. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers says he would be willing to veto the state budget if it includes a return-to-work policy for state employees. Remote work soared during the COVID-19 pandemic, with workers unable to gather in an office for safety reasons, and has stuck around as an option for convenience and improved work-life balance. Republican State Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says he wants to require state employees to work in person multiple days per week. Governor Evers says remote work especially benefits employees from rural communities. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation has released volunteer numbers for this year's Adopt-a-Highway program. According to DOT officials, nearly 15,000 volunteers from over 3,000 different groups performed cleanups on sections of adopted roadways this year, putting in over 5,400 hours of work. DOT officials also say volunteers picked up nearly 350,000 pounds of trash from those roadways. Over 5,900 miles of state highways were adopted through the program in 2024. As the Chippewa Valley Health Cooperative works through long-term plans for a new hospital in Lake Halley, the group is also considering reopening HSHS St. Joseph's Hospital in Chippewa Falls. At an informational meeting on Monday, the cooperative announced that they had signed a letter of intent with HSHS to purchase and reopen the hospital property nearly 1 year after the healthcare organization announced its closure. Officials say the hospital could be open as soon as next fall if the cooperative finds it financially feasible. An Arizona man who led Barron County authorities on a high-speed chase, ending in a crash and injury to his passenger, has entered a plea deal. 28-year-old Raul Olia Velasquez entered a guilty plea to first-degree recklessly endangering safety and misdemeanor causing injury while operating under the influence on Friday. The chase occurred in September after Rice Lake officers responded to reports of the two men acting belligerent in a restaurant before they fled. A Rice Lake squad car also suffered damage during the chase. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. If you're a moviegoer who likes Thanksgiving leftovers, you probably found something to enjoy at the movies this past weekend. Only one new release was able to crack the top 5, and only 3 flicks cracked the top 10. In first place, to no one's surprise, was Moana 2, which pulled in another $52 million in its second weekend in theaters. Coming in second place was Wicked, with a $34 million haul and $320 million take worldwide. And in third place is Gladiator 2, with $12.5 million. Indian action mystery thriller Pushpa 2, The Rule, brought in almost $10 million on just 1,200 screens to grab fourth place. Red One took fifth place. A24's latest, Y2K, pulled in a disappointing $2 million in its first weekend release, good for eighth place. A re-release of Christopher Nolan's Interstellar took sixth place with $4.5 million on only 165 screens nationwide. There should be some big box office activity this coming week with the release of a new Lord of the Rings film. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Cloudy and calm before the storm. High temperatures today were already hit early this morning and are slowly sliding to the teens tonight. With a few flurries flying around overnight, snow is likely tomorrow morning. With less than an inch expected, winds will be blustery and temperatures plummeting. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 24 degrees.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We know what happened the last time Trump applied this ham-fisted tariff policy. He had to write a $12 billion check to farmers because he crushed so many of our agricultural exports. It drove up the cost of single-family homes because the cost of lumber from places like Canada went way the frick up. Everything got more expensive.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Dom Selvia.
Next time, we will go overtime with Maggie Dawn. Plus, guess which Republican candidate who claims to have never lost an election is a leading contender to become Trump's ambassador to Mexico. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the Calvinator on the board coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Putz de Leon continues to actively ruin. You can catch our guest every Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 a.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network. The host of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow, is here. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm good. I'm dying just a little bit inside. Anytime I get introduced with that, and I don't get the opportunity to watch Greg Bach do his Michael McDonald impression, is just, I need that. It's like Sheldon knocking only two times instead of three times on Penny's door. You know,
it's a deep reference. There you go.
Yes. Deep cut there,
Greg,
Pat.
Greg.
Yeah.
Take the cue. Give me some Michael McDonald. There we go. Jane, I'm doing great now. Thank you.
Are you mocking Michael McDonald?
No. Oh, no.
Because I just watched the Yacht Rock thing on Netflix.
How great was that?
It was wonderful.
Excuse me here. Jane, Pat, Calvin, myself, real quick poll here. Who has seen Michael McDonald live in concert? Oh, I never mock the captain of the boat.
It was said with love.
Yes.
Said with love. It really is. It really is a great piece, though.
It was a mockery. It's an homage.
Just a lot of great memories associated with that music, depending upon when you grew up. So, yeah, I think it's definitely worth checking out if you're trying to escape from things.
I think for those who are on, say, a quixotic quest to escape the news,
nice.
You could do worse than watching that documentary. Ding. I listen.
You got the word. You got the word of the day, definitely. Oh, yes. No, the actual word is coming up next hour, Pat Kreitlow. In our statewide text to win grown-up gift contest, we will give you the word you need to text in right after the 11 o'clock news. Pat starts it off at 7. We get the next word, Todd, then at 1 o'clock and Dom at 4 p.m. So make sure you download the Civic Media app. That's the only way to enter. Just go to your app store and download. It's free.
Absolutely free.
Absolutely free. The Civic Media app. See what he did there? We wanted to talk with you, Pat, a little bit to start off with this article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel written by Kelly Meyerhofer. UW-Madison professor calls incoming U.S. Health Secretary RFK Jr. moron during lecture. This is what the professor said. Professor Timothy Poustian, talking to his microbiology class on Friday, quote, "We have a psychopath that's going to be the head of Health and Human Services in RFK Jr. He's against vaccines. He's a moron. That's not a political thing. That's a fact." This, of course, prompting some outrage, shocker, by some who say, he has no business sharing his opinion. They're supposed to be teaching our children how to think, not to indoctrinate them.
It was Brian Stiles' exact words were, where is it? It's right up here. Okay. "We should be teaching students how to think, not what to think." I don't think you understand, Brian, how bad that statement also is.
The thing that I took away from it right away was what we learned in journalism class. In any kind of libel case, truth is the ultimate defense. So, I didn't detect any lies about RFK in there. So I think he's got a good case to make in court.
Well, I don't know about calling him a moron. I can see why some are upset about this, but I find it interesting that they seem to all of a sudden be all about encouraging our kids to develop critical thinking skills. I didn't think that that was something that was embraced by many.
Well, no. But, and again, for this batch, every assertion is a confession. And in this case, it's about indoctrination. Every assertion that somebody else is indoctrinating is just a tell that what they most want to do is engage in indoctrination. Everything about freedom of speech is, again, about turning, you know, Twitter into a cesspool.
Right.
So you can indoctrinate people that way. So when you hear a complaint like that, you should always look for the confession. And the confession in this case is that they've called people a lot worse than morons, including, you know, the sitting president of the United States and others.
Yeah.
So, you know, the people upset with the professor can politely sit down.
The professor also said if there is a pandemic with RFK Jr. in charge of Health and Human Services, quote, he's going to be talking about crystals and meditation, unquote.
We should be so lucky that he only talks about crystals and meditation because he is, first off, I'm very fearful, very concerned that we will face another pandemic under a new Trump administration.
Yes.
And that if somebody, not just Kennedy, but if somebody else of his ilk, and there are many of them mm-hmm. that are already appointed to roles like to run the NIH and the CDC and all of that, the advice they're going to give, the guidance, is going to be much more harmful than crystals and meditation. It will be about doing things that run absolutely counter to public health. It cannot be said enough. It wasn't said nearly enough in this campaign. Donald Trump's actions killed many, many, many Americans. The guidance that he gave, the obstruction that he and others on the far right made to public safety measures killed Americans. And yet far too many people have wanted to memory hole this thing, that if somebody like this professor wants to speak up and remind us how bad the next pandemic can be, I just want this guy to preach all he wants.
One of the things I've asked a lot of people, I think I've asked this on the show, both of your shows, is, you know, what will a pandemic have to look like next time for a majority of American citizens to take it seriously? Because COVID looked like a cold or a flu, and people were like, oh, get over it, it's fine. It'll need to be pustules. It will need to be melting skin. It will need to be violent and need to be almost horror movie-esque for people to actually get the message.
I said that during COVID, that unless there are oozing pustules on people's faces, no one is going, people aren't going to believe it. Because they don't want to
start with something like, you know, monkeypox and get that much worse. You would think body bags would be enough. You would think refrigerated semis outside of our hospitals would have been enough. Or the discussions of what it's like to have to intubate children would be enough. But, you know, much like school shootings, apparently it's not enough to shock some folks into doing even the bare minimum required to keep us safe.
But I do think, Pat, that you said memory hold the pandemic. It's like we have collective amnesia about what happened during those 2 years. It seriously is, during the lockdowns and everything. We have forgotten what it was like, and watching the news and watching the daily body count go up day after day after day after day. It was horrific. It was horrific.
And all we recall are the political fights about it. What should we mask or should we not mask? Should we stay home? Should we not stay home? And, you know, Jane, I haven't mentioned it for a long time, but early on in the pandemic, the parallel I always drew was from early World War II, especially on the east and west coasts of the U.S., but think about England as well, and blackout curtains to make sure that, you know, the bombers couldn't see from the air. And in this day and age, if we had something like that, we'd have no shortage of fools saying, no government's going to tell me what I got to do. They open up their curtain. They're putting all of their neighbors at risk. And that's exactly what they did. Now, because we can't actually see, you know, the virus in its particles as it goes from one person to another, we can't connect the dots on who exactly killed grandma in any given case. But it doesn't take much to realize that if more of these precautions had been followed, a lot of people would have been alive. And that's something we do need to be mindful of the next time something comes up. My wife, being a physician, she has done mission work in Africa, and she was concerned last week reading that there's some new mysterious, you know, illness in the Southwest Congo. And I'm like, I'm going to stop you right here because I've got enough to think about right now. But other people are thankfully. And I just hope that if when the next thing gets here, we have people in responsible positions and people willing to listen to them.
If you're just joining us, Pat Kreitlow is our guest. He's the host of Up North News Radio here on the Civic Media Radio Network. And we're talking about an article in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. There is a professor at UW who got in some trouble addressing his class, talking about with RFK Jr. in charge of Health and Human Services. He's a psychopath and he's a moron. He said that's not a political thing. That's a fact. And that's got some ruffled feathers out there for those who would love our higher education system.
Yes.
The one thing I do want to point out about RFK, because we could do an hour just on him alone, but I read recently there is a farmer in California who is a big proponent of raw milk, which RFK Jr. is also a big proponent of. He's been mentioned that he should try and be the head of the FDA. And his farm just had to close down because of the presence of bird flu in his raw milk.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something to look forward to, too.
It is. And by the way, it also affects people who have had mixed feelings on raw milk, including myself, where as a legislator with, of all people, Glenn Grothman, we worked on potential legislation that would have allowed under certain conditions for adults who preferred raw milk to be able to access it. And I heard no end of material from public health officials and everybody else. And I said, I absolutely understand what it is you're saying. I'm looking to see if there is a way for some smaller subset of people who prefer raw milk. Again, you know, being married to a, you know, somebody who grew up on a dairy farm,
right?
You know, mm-hmm. I know the value of how good that milk tastes and how good it can be, but also the pathogens that can be in it. It's a very tricky thing. And if I were in that position now, I would not be pursuing that the way that I was, you know, 15 years ago, the last thing we were thinking about was some kind of bird flu that would infect an entire nation's milk supply.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. If you were in California and you are a dairy farmer, you cows are more likely infected by the avian influenza right now. So the idea of trying to propose raw milk, like, no, we don't need that right now.
No, and it would have needed such standards, and that's part of what I was talking about was I know my in-laws, I know how they operate. I would have trusted anything that came out of their barn. I don't trust how other people engage in dairy farming. Yeah. And so it would have had to have some strict regulation. But like I said, at this point, the cow is out of the barn. There's no way I would go for that.
Well, if you're interested, you can actually fill out an online questionnaire if you would like a job with the Health and Human Services Agency under Robert Kennedy Jr. Some of the questions include, do you believe that too much tax money goes to support the arts? Do you or do you not like poetry? And do you try to avoid complex people? That is among the questions on the questionnaire to work for the Department of Health and Human Services. Not on whether you have a scientific background, not on whether you have any experience at all. Just how do you feel about poetry?
You know, honestly, at this point, I feel like because they know things like this just invite the public to flood it with a whole bunch of versions of Bodie McBoatface. It's almost as if they're doing this for show. They're almost trolling us to say, let's put this up. Let's put this thing up with a voter
and see who buys
they're
it.
They're not going to hire anybody from that. It's more of an exercise to say, hey, we put something out there for the public, but they've already got their own cronies that they're going to hire.
That's a really interesting take.
But the questions are, do you think too much is spent on art?
Well, and
as opposed to what?
And can you imagine applying for any job that would ask questions like that? There are some other questions that are much more personal. I wouldn't want any employer to have that information about me. All right, we're going to keep talking with Pat Kreitlow from Up North News Radio. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In the 2024 election, estimates show that more than 83 million Americans voted early in person or by mail. President Donald Trump said December 5th he wants to look at returning to same-day voting. Speaking at a Fox Nation award ceremony where Trump was honored as the network's Patriot of the Year, he said, quote, "We're going to do things that have really been needed for a long time, and we are going to look at elections. We want to have paper ballots, one-day voting, voter ID, and proof of citizenship," unquote. Early voting options have expanded to 46 states since 2000. Election data company TargetSmart estimates almost 83.7 million Americans voted early in person, universal mail ballot, or absentee ballot. Among that 83.7 million were 35.16 million Republican early voters. The Texas Tribune reports that in the state's most reliably red counties, 50.4% of votes were cast early. In Trump's home state of Florida, where voting by mail is popular among seniors, over 3 million voters voted by mail and over 5.6 million votes were cast early in person, according to Secretary of State figures. The U.S. Supreme Court, which has deferred to the power of states to regulate elections, is unlikely to embrace any federal mandate to curb state-implemented early voting. We have links to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Ho-ho, the holidays are here, and it's time to pick a present from the grown-up gift list with Civic Media's statewide text-to-win contest. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of the grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier, espresso machine, and more on the grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Just download the Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 11, 1, and 4 for your chance to win in the statewide contest. Ho-ho-ho!
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, the Board Lord, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Don't forget, right after the 11 o'clock news, we will give you the word you need to text in order to potentially pick up $100 in cash and then be in the entry for one of 8 grand prizes as part of our grown-up gift list statewide text-to-win contest. We will tell you the word you need to text in via the Civic Media app again right after the 11 o'clock news. And 1 hour from now, 11:51-ish, we'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, Sleep Tight Edition. If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, janesays@civicmedia.us. Delighted to be joined by our friend and colleague, Pat Kreitlow, the host of Up North News Radio here on Civic Media. We were talking before you joined us, Pat, at the top of the hour about Robin Voss essentially crediting Republicans' clairvoyance for the failure of Foxconn in order to clear the way for Microsoft, because without that boondoggle, Microsoft never would have happened. And we also talked yesterday a little bit about he sure doesn't like employees working from home.
So irony died a long time ago, and one of the pallbearers was Robin Voss, who fresh off another, and I do say another, 9-month paid vacation by taxpayers, has the audacity to say people shouldn't be working from home, that we should require them to be in the office, to which I can only respond, can we lock you up in the assembly chambers and say you must stay there till you do something productive, anything at all? But again, it's not a real issue. That this is not what Robin Voss is actually talking about. When Robin Voss and every Republican brings this up, they're looking to tap into something. They're looking to tap in with the rest of the torches and pitchforks crowd that wants to be angry at somebody. It's easy to be angry at bureaucrats and state employees who stay home, when if they were in a position where they could work from home or work remotely and meet or exceed the same metrics as they were in the office, they would take that deal in a heartbeat.
Absolutely.
But it's always easier for Voss and others to, you know, take a kick at the very state employees who enable them to, you know, have a clean, comfortable office, that enable them to have departments that run smoothly, even when they underfund those same departments. So it's not a real thing, but, you know, Republicans are always good at making up the next, you know, PR bout of faux anger.
So we hated our teachers after Act 10. Everything was their fault and they were lazy mooches. And so now we're going to kind of direct that same kind of angst towards state employees who work from home. Because the thing that drives me crazy about this, Pat, is he has data showing how often they're in the office, but he didn't share any data about productivity crashing or things not getting done. He hasn't shared any of that. One might assume there isn't any data that supports that.
Right, because he says things aren't getting done, to which, yeah, I would say, you know, put up or shut up, especially when we know your record. He's working for, or not working for, he is part of the laziest legislature of our lifetimes. This is a lazy legislature that cannot do the work to properly fund schools with, again, a surplus of anywhere from $3 to $7 billion over the past couple of years, and cannot show up to, pass a bipartisan budget, has already said before this new legislature even meets that several things from Governor Evers are dead on arrival. So, I mean, he's learned nothing from losing 10 seats in the assembly, 5 seats in the Senate, I believe it was. And he knows that the only way to prevent being called out for heading the laziest legislature in the country is to find other people and claim that they're lazy instead.
Yeah.
That's a very good point.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, is if you dig deeper into this topic, it's not about, because the surveys that they put out showed that the efficiency was there, the quality was there, and the point is, for me, whenever I hear someone saying, we need to get people back in the office, it has to do with real estate. It has to do with business owners. It has to do with people who are spending thousands, if not tens of thousands, on building rentals because and they're half empty or half full, how you look at it, because these people are working from home, doing a good job.
Well, and it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out because a right-wing publication has just posted an article from the Institute for Reform and Government, which actually is talking about the new DOGE, you know, headed by Elon and Vivek to cut government waste, and saying, here are some things we could do, taking advantage of the hybrid work model, which is already taking shape under Governor Evers. So I don't know, guys, maybe you should talk amongst yourselves and decide which side of this you're going to be on, because this isn't done.
This is the group that has always liked to be, it from a pro-business standpoint, the Work Smarter group. So Work Smarter, take the partisan politics out of it and say, look, let's set up something where, again, if there are these metrics that you're meeting, then working from home works for you. If it doesn't, then it doesn't. But to give this blanket indictment of state employees is just par for the course for these guys.
Pat Kreitlow, join him every morning from 6 to 8 a.m. He has the first word of the day in the 7 o'clock hour.
Ooh.
Pat Kreitlow from Up North News Radio. Thank you so much, Pat. Really appreciate it.
You bet. Thanks, Jane. Thanks,
News
Greg.
Is coming up next. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome wrestling announcer and Civic Media's own Rich Lucchesio, Swedish jazz queen Gunnhild Carling, and Northeast Wisconsin author Brett Kissinger. Let's light it up like it's a school night.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Earl Ingram.
Mr. Ben Wickler, he is running for the national DNC chair. The fundamental problem was the Democratic brand. Do you think that is the case more than the Harris campaign?
Core answer is yes. The Democratic brand, it's not what we necessarily do or say. It's what people have heard and internalized. And that, to me, is an argument for thinking about how and where we communicate, making sure we are present in places where people are thinking about stuff other than politics.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. It's a scramble for thousands of people who've fled a fast-moving wildfire in Malibu, California.
I got everybody up and out of the house and tried to stay back and save the horses.
The fire, pushed along by strong winds, has burned 2,200 acres. 26-year-old Luigi Mangione has been charged with second-degree murder in the shooting death of the United Healthcare CEO. CBS's Lily Luciano says he remains in Altoona, Pennsylvania, where he was arrested.
He's either going to waive his extradition, and at which point NYPD would come and take him to New York to face that murder charge, or he fights that. And what that would mean is an additional series of days.
Senate Republicans vow to carry out the Trump plan for mass deportations. South Carolina's Lindsey Graham.
Increasing the number of ICE agents, finish the wall, and put technology on the border so we'll have operational control of the border. That's going to be our top priority.
CBS News Brief. I'm Steve Kathan.